This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Samuta Nirti from Stargate SG-1 on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hathor is amazing in the sense that no matter where I am in the world, I've been recognised at the most peculiar times, you know.
I'm Sonia from Sci-Fi and Squeam, and we're here for the Armageddon media junket, I guess you could call it. It is October the 17th. And it's the day before the big event, part of the expo that we're having here in Melbourne at the Melbourne Showgrounds. And I'm with Sue-Anne Braun. Of course, I'd like to welcome you to the show, to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, perfect. Meters.
We're working. We're on.
I think that's what it's called, a meter.
We're doing this, listeners, just because it's new equipment and we're professional, not because we don't know how to do it.
We're professional amateurs. That's what I love that we do have as fans because of your involvement with things like Stargate One and being, is it Hathor?
Hathor, yeah.
Egyptian gods' names.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's been a while since then. Can you tell us the experience about being in such a hugely successful franchise?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always say Hathor's been very, very kind to me because I've been acting since I was a little girl and done many, many different things in many different continents. And then along came this show. And even though I was only in three episodes, I am still asked to do wonderful things like this and meet the fans and have massive support on Twitter. And it's been an incredibly rewarding experience, actually, because I was not really aware of the science fiction world or kind of any kind of sci-fi show going in. And knew Rick from MacGyver, obviously.
Yes.
But didn't really know much about the storyline. And I'd seen the film. I'd seen the original Stargate film, which I thought was really good. And then that was that. And, you know, as an actor, you don't ever know beforehand. I mean, I've worked on things where I've thought, oh, this is really special and I treasure it and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And then the general public take it and just don't run with it.
Yeah.
And other times you go into something and you have no idea and on the opening night there's a standing ovation and you look back and think, my God, we've made something really special. So you don't really know. I had a wonderful time working on it for the entire time I was there and then I kind of left it. And then the show just took off and one of my most treasured possessions, actually, as I received a letter from MGM, who were the original studio, obviously, and saying that I'm one of the top 10 of all time in Stargate, top 10 baddies. I think I'm number 5. Slap man in the middle. So, yeah, it's had a profound experience on me. And Hathor is amazing in the sense that no matter where I am in the world, I've been recognised at the most peculiar times, you know.
What is the strangest?
The strangest was
banning.
It wasn't so much a fan, but I was just so grateful. I got a job when I still was on a South African passport. So my husband and I were on holiday in Thailand, in Phuket, and I got a job to shoot for 2 days in Tel Aviv, in Israel.
Right.
So I had to fly.
That's quite a...
Yeah, single woman on a South African passport, flying for 2 days into Tel Aviv from Phuket in Bangkok.
2 days
so
to,
I arrived at Tel Aviv, and I'm sure they thought I was either a hooker, a drug smuggler, but basically a criminal. But as I was departing, because when you leave Thailand, you have to go through very extensive security for LL. They're very, very, very strict. And this guy was having none of it. He was like, I don't understand why, you know, why you're on a South African passport. Why are you going to Israel via this route? And of course, everything I said just made it sound like it was worse.
Yeah,
and then finally he went, you are an actress? What kind of work do you do? I said, well, I've done everything. I've done, you know, films and theatre. I said, I've just done Mamma Mia in the West End.
Yes, yeah.
Hoping that would ring a bell. Nothing. And he said, what movies? You make movies? The television? I said, yes. I was in a thing called Stargate SG-1 and I rattled off a few other things. And he went, Stargate? Stargate with Richard Dean Anderson? And I went, yes, that one. I've been in that. And he went, who do you play? I said, I played Hathor. I see you. You're a very Egyptian goddess with red hair.
Yeah,
yes, I see.
Yes.
And
yes.
So he, from that moment on,
I
waltzed through security. So she's been very kind to me.
So the rubber gloves were put away. That's good.
Exactly.
What a relief.
And just in time.
Just in time. Yes, so look, this is massive because it's had so much of a plethora of a following, and then there's the Stargate Universe, there's all those other things. What if the producers said, look, we're going to make a brand new series, we want you to reprise your role. Would you be excited to do it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I think what would be interesting, though, I wouldn't want to necessarily reprise it in exactly the same way because it's been a while. So I think, and also that's... But I think absolutely if they ever did... I mean, unfortunately, I don't think that will ever happen because I think...
There's always the rumours.
There are rumours, but I... Recently, I saw both Chris Judge... I did a big convention with Chris and Amanda and Michael Shanks and Rick, actually. So the four of... And, I mean, we are really... We still get on really well. You know, we still... I was just saying it earlier in the previous interview. It is like a family. And we just slotted straight back into that kind of comfortable thing. Amanda and I are still good mates.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that came up. And we were talking because, of course, Roland Emmerich is doing a film version of it. He's rebooting the franchise and doing a whole kind of prequel, a prequel to the sequel to the... Whatever. And he said he wants nothing to do with the series. He doesn't want anything to do... And that's fine. And a lot of the questions from fans at that convention were asking the Stargate main actors how they felt about that. And I think Michael Shanks handled it really well because he said, well, the thing is, you know, we ran for 10 years. We had a really good innings. Even if we were to do a series now, we can't, you know, or a film or reboot it. It can't be the same. It would have to be different. And we're all older, and so we wouldn't... Characters wouldn't look the same.
Very similar to V, I guess, with the television series V.
Exactly. Exactly, and how that was completely redone. Yeah. So I think what would be interesting is if they ever did a series or kind of try to do it, to maybe appear in it as, you know, Hathor in a preview, cameo. Yeah. I mean, it would be lovely to do it. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that would be great. And the fans would definitely be behind it. And I think that's the thing. I think we're looking at an age where fans are making the decisions for a lot of these.
Yeah.
You know, the decisions are made.
Absolutely.
By the fans.
Funny enough, Amanda and I were talking recently about this because I said to her, what we should do is we should write a series for us. You know, because she's directing more and more now. And I said, if we had a really strong sci-fi series for two women, and we were looking at all these, because she loves British drama, and we were looking at all the various things, and I said, that's something that would really interest me.
It's about time, and female empowerment. I mean, there's a lot of talk about it, and particularly in gaming, and you've probably heard about Anita Sarkeesian, and she was supposed to do a lecture about her video, you know, about women and videos and that sort of thing. She's getting a lot of hate Twitters. I can't say hate mail anymore, but a lot of hate. And she had to cancel her visit to a university a couple of days ago because
really?
The death threats were so intense, like serious death
Crazy.
Threats. So intense that they were planning to storm the university with guns and so on.
Oh,
I mean,
my
this
God.
Is the sort of crap.
Ridiculous.
So we do need, I think, some more female representation. It would be nice to see it in sci-fi. I mean, the video games are starting to get this act together.
Yeah.
I would like to see that more. Television's not too bad, but to me, motion pictures...
Yeah.
Are really falling.
No, I agree.
Way behind. Even with Joss Whedon, I mean, he did The Avengers, that was marvellous. One female character.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And I think, funny enough, the big studio films are not... They're in trouble because also they've targeted a market that they've completely excluded women and women of all ages. I think Meryl Streep said something really interesting when she did a film a few years ago where Alec Baldwin played her lover, and he's several years younger than her, and at the time nobody, none of the studios, thank you so much, you're a lifesaver. I've just been given a coffee.
Coffee. Melbourne coffee. I hope
yeah.
it's up to
I'm sure it will be. And she said what was interesting when they made this film, no one, none of the studios were bankrolled. Everybody was like, are you kidding? Meryl Streep, she's like 60, nobody wants to see her kissing anybody. Oh God, what? Having sex now?
Really?
And she said what was really interesting is when the film got made, it was one of the highest viewed films, and of course everybody did an about turn and went, oh my God, I can't believe you're still such a bankable star. Yeah. Then she did Mamma Mia, and in actual fact, and I know the script Mamma Mia very well, I was in it for 2 years. But so she's actually too old to play that character, but pulled it off superbly. Nobody cared. And I think what's interesting is that's kind of made studios go, oh, we've neglected a whole portion of the population.
I mean,
because
even for the Gravity, I don't know if you saw the wonderful film Gravity with Sandra Bullock.
I did, I thought it was fantastic.
She's in her 40s, and, you know, I mean, that was pretty amazing that she got that role.
Oh, yeah.
Because they could have given that to a 19
Absolutely.
To 25-year-old.
But I think that has a lot to do with her relationship with the director and stuff, and she had to, you know, kind of, he had to fight for her.
Yes.
And then, of course, it changed.
The
yeah.
Well, they don't get it.
No.
So I would like to see you and Amanda do something. I've actually just, it's just popped in my head. It's probably because I haven't had a coffee and it's very early in the morning still. What about sort of like The Office / behind the scenes mockumentary style about women making a science fiction feature?
Well, we talked about that. We've talked about all kinds of things because both of us have this huge love of comedy and improvising and stuff. Perfect.
And you've done a lot of theatre.
Yeah, and I would be interested in that. But funny enough, at the moment, for me, I said to her, and weirdly, it's starting tonight, I see, here in Australia. There's a British series made by the BBC very recently called Happy Valley, which is astonishing.
Yep.
And the lead actress in that is an actress called Sarah Lancashire, who, you know, for years, she's like very northern, you know, and for years she's just been in like Coronation Street and been like, you know, playing all those sort of roles. And she comes in playing this tough, no-nonsense, takes no from anybody kind of cop.
Yeah.
Really clever story. Clever story. And I looked at that. It was written by a woman, directed by a woman, starring a woman, scripted by a woman, produced by a woman. Well, they made... I don't think they had any idea the impact it would have. And I think they made... It's either 6 or 8 episodes. Cool. And it kind of was a standalone thing, but it's had such a profound effect in the UK.
Mm.
And now I see it's traveling, and Netflix have just picked it up.
Excellent.
She's received the reviews of her life. But basically, it's about this detective following a guy who is a murderer and a rapist who's been let back into society. I mean, I don't want to give it too much away.
No, but I
was saying to Amanda, what would interest me from a dramatic point of view is to have a sci-fi show where you had maybe a female cop and then a villain. So sort of like The Heat, the Michael Mann thing in Heat, where you had Pacino and De Niro.
A dystopical style.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
I'm just thinking that might be lower budget.
Yeah, true.
Just for the CGI.
Well, I'd quite like to have no, almost, I mean, it's difficult to do no CGI. I did a series in the UK called Star Hike, with a Y, which is a comedy series, and they had very, very, very little budget, so we had a lot of it happened on Earth in present day.
That's okay. Look, some of my most favourite movies and sci-fi and slash and horror are low budget. There was one that was made for £38 called Colin. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
Look it up. Seriously, I loved it. It's a zombie movie.
Yeah.
If you don't like zombie movies, that's okay. Well, it's about 90 minutes long, I think. And it was made, £38, and they borrowed a camera and used their friends. And it's from the perspective of a zombie. And it was done like 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It was the first of its kind. It's rather...
I think today there are people making... Amazing. Somebody sent me, this is completely not on the topic of what we're talking about, but of people doing their own thing. Somebody sent me a clip from YouTube of this young kid who's kind of done a mashup of 4 Disney heroines.
Okay.
And he sings all 4 parts. He plays all 4 parts. He's made up the words in perfect 4-part harmony, all a cappella. So he's doing all the... And so talented, beautifully edited, slick. I mean, of course, it's... became a YouTube sensation, and no doubt he's now, you know, got an agent. And but yeah, really, really good.
That's interesting. I really, you know, I'm excited about, hopefully we will see something from both of you.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
And get some other fantastic ladies would be great. I'm sure there's a whole list of
out there.
We can go on. But Sue Ann Braun, it's been fantastic talking to you for Sci-Fi and Screen.
Thank you.
Sci-Fi and
Screen.
On Joy
949?
94. Yeah,
94.9.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Sue Ann, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Can I actually say your last name?
Yes, I suddenly realised that
wasn't
very good. Hi, this is Sue Ann Braun, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hey, this is Alina Huffman for Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.